The Indianapolis Colts very clearly need a new head coach when the season is over, and the chatter connecting them to an old familiar face is starting to pick up. We'll tell you all about it on today's episode of Locked On Colts. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you all for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This is Jake Arthur alongside Zach Hicks, and you know the two of us from HorseshoeHuddle.com. Today we're going to talk about the latest smoke connecting the former Colts quarterback and current Michigan Wolverines head coach Jim Harbaugh to the Colts, and whether or not it would be a good idea, basically. We'll also tell you a couple of things that we think the Colts have got to do in these next 4 weeks of the regular season, and that's get younger and get Matt Ryan out of the lineup. All right, so starting first and foremost, you know, where there's smoke, a lot of time there's fire. And in the past, it was easy to say whenever the Colts were connected to some big name, whether it was a coach or player, that it'll never happen. But now there's a lot of, like, anything is on the table now with the Colts, with Jim Irsay pulling the strings. A lot of people nationally and locally are starting to kind of connect the two sides, Jim Harbaugh and the Colts. He's known as a guy that turns programs around. He's done it in college with San Diego, Stanford, and Michigan. Did it in the NFL with the 49ers, got them to a Super Bowl. I don't know. Like I said, national guys, Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport mentioned it today. Bob Kravitz wrote about it today. And now Bob didn't say, like, I've heard this is going on, but he said it should happen. And the national guys all referenced that piece. I don't think they would just do that for no reason. I think everyone thinks the Colts are a real possibility. Harbaugh is happy at Michigan, but has kind of said, you know, he views the NFL as like the ultimate coaching challenge. Obviously, he wants to win a Super Bowl, I'm sure, before his coaching career is up. So, are the Colts the right scenario for him to leave Michigan, a program he's now got back up near the top? Who knows? What do you think? I know you've mentioned Jim Harbaugh lately.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we got to say here, though, is Jim Harbaugh did say the other day that he is 100% expecting to return to Michigan as their head coach next season. He said it very firmly, very sternly, the other day, that he's going to be back as Michigan's head coach next season. Now, we know that sometimes in the NFL, it's not what it seems. You know, we heard Jim Irsay say that, Frank Reich was safe and then fired him 2 weeks later. So, I mean, it's just what happens with a lot of these things. You know, money obviously changes a lot. But when it comes to Jim Harbaugh, I really think it's going to take the perfect situation. I'm not saying the Colts are that perfect situation by any means. But when I say perfect situation, I mean, for him to leave Michigan, he would have to get a monster contract. Plus, he'd probably have to get a lot of roster control, and he'd have to be, you know, obviously the head coach, and honestly get some GM duties as well. And probably he'd be able to pick his own GM. He'd be able to pick his whole staff, everything like that. Like, he'd have control over the player personnel and stuff like that. And I think the Colts are probably the only spot where it really makes a lot of sense, because Jim Irsay has shown loyalty to past Colts players and past Colts legends. I'm not saying Jim Harbaugh is a legend with the Colts, but he was a successful player for this team. And, you know, obviously Jim Irsay is just leaning into, you know, the old glory days of the Colts and just the past Colts. So Jim Harbaugh seems like a guy that Irsay would, you know, just kind of give the key to and let him do whatever he wants to do. Again, it's going to come down to money. And yes, Jim Irsay has a lot of money, but so do the boosters at Michigan. The boosters at Michigan are going to give, you know, an arm and a leg to keep him there for the rest of his life. And honestly, it's hard to leave the college scene, especially when you're consistently in that college football playoff. You get to recruit players. You get to kind of handpick your own guys no matter what. You don't have to compete with salary cap. You don't have to compete with, you know, a potentially meddling owner down the line, which would be a hard thing right there for him. So I don't really see it happening. I think there's just a lot of variables that would have to fall into place for Harbaugh to make the jump to the Colts. But again, I think if he's going to make that jump to the NFL, jumping to the Colts with someone he's worked with in the past, and Jim Irsay, a guy that he's familiar with, and Irsay kind of just giving him the keys to do whatever he wants, I think that could be something on the table. It's just, again, it's going to be tough to leave Michigan. I don't really see it happening, but yeah, I mean, it might, I don't know. We'll have to see how this offseason goes down and what Michigan does in the college football playoff here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think the results of Michigan's season probably, you know, a lot of what might happen with the NFL stuff is dependent on that. The Colts aren't exactly an NFL team that I think is like a shining example of what a successful college coach would leave for. It seems like a hometown discount kind of thing. Although financially, I think Jim Irsay would give him whatever he wanted. But there's just, you know, there's not a quarterback in place. Like you said, it'd probably require a new GM. He kind of butted heads with Trent Baalke back in the 49ers days. So, and this is a team that's grossly underperformed. So there's not a lot here in terms of building blocks and things that are really attractive. So I wouldn't consider it likely, but like if there are suitors for him in the NFL, I would expect the Colts to have valid interest. Yeah. Just depends how two-sided that would be.
I think, again, when you look at this whole season has gone on with the Colts, you know, firing Frank Reich midseason, Jim Irsay having the meddling tag on him right now as an owner that jumped in and made a lot of decisions kind of against the wishes of his front office and against the wishes of a lot of people around him. That's scary for promising head coaching candidates. And someone like Harbaugh is going to have so many offers if he wants to make that jump to the NFL that I could see him, you know, even though with the hometown discount, him being like, man, I just don't want to step into that situation. I'd rather go to, you know, to LA to work with Justin Herbert, or I'd rather go to Houston and get that number one overall pick and Bryce Young. You know, there's a lot of probably better, more attractive, like just teams that he could go to. But again, the hometown discount could come in. But from what we've kind of talked about a little bit on here and what's been said a lot on social media is when you look at this Colts opening that's probably going to be available after the season, it's probably going to be young guys who are very, very hungry for their first opportunity, or old, near-retired guys who just want to get that last shot. So I think those are more of the guys we should look at, not the top candidates like Sean Payton or Jim Harbaugh or Shane Steichen. Like, those are guys that are probably going to get so many offers that I don't know if the Colts are going to be one of those attractive situations for those guys, where maybe someone like Jim Caldwell, Leslie Frazier, maybe Ben Johnson with Detroit, who's a young guy maybe looking for an opportunity. Those might be more realistic candidates for the Colts. Maybe a better chance to kind of reset this team and kind of just stable the ship a little bit. I just don't see how they're going to land a top head coaching candidate unless it's someone like Harbaugh with ties to Indy and ties to the Indy area.
Now let's fast forward a little bit and say that the smoke, you know, is resulting in fire, and it seems like it's likely going to happen. Do you think it would be a good move? You know, in the past, again, we've talked about he's been successful everywhere he goes. He builds programs back up. It may not be immediate, but it eventually he gets there. He's put good staffs around him. You know, when you look at San Francisco, he had Greg Roman when Greg Roman was kind of getting a lot of attention there. Tom Rathman was his running backs coach. Vic Fangio was known as like a defensive genius when he was there. Jim Tomsula as a defensive line coach. So he could build a good staff. Do you think it would be a good idea if he did land here with the Colts?
Oh, yeah. Look, if Harbaugh wanted to come to Indy, I would let him be GM and head coach. He has the pedigree. He has the resume. He's had a lot of success in the NFL. I'm all for that move. And honestly, I just think he's a great, you know, coach slash GM to bring in to kind of right the ship a little bit. This team has talent. They're not playing up to that talent. And they just kind of need a stable presence to kind of bring it up. And Jim Harbaugh, like you said, has that proven track record of getting the best out of his teams, propelling these teams that he's taking over to new heights and new levels. So yeah, I think he'd be a home run hire. I don't know how realistic it is with him saying I'm 100% going back to Michigan, and with the Colts not being that attractive of a job destination for a top tier head coaching candidate like Jim Harbaugh.
Now the Colts may not put that head coaching vacancy on the online portals, but that doesn't mean that you cannot with LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so that you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus the leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, so this is something we've talked about. Last week we talked about it on the postgame show on Sunday night, but it's really hitting a fever pitch. It's what most Colts fans are talking about around the water cooler today. Matt Ryan, I think it's done. I mean, whether the Colts feel that way, who knows? They may just feel like weakened at Bernie-ing him throughout the rest of the season. But, I mean, 18 turnovers, it's the most in the NFL. If Matt Ryan was his own team, he'd be tied for sixth in the NFL in turnovers. That's a good stat from James Boyd today. The most sacks in the NFL, some of those went to Sam Ellinger, but for the most part, it's Matt Ryan. I mean, it's just not pretty. You're throwing a guy out there who looks like a shell of himself physically. He doesn't look like the same sharp guy mentally he was with the Falcons. Like, it looks like you have an old rookie out there.
Yeah, and to put some more, I guess, more context to what we're talking about here, Jeff Saturday today was asked about the potential of benching Matt Ryan. He said they're going to reevaluate everything to see what gives them the best chance of winning these last four games. So maybe a change is coming. You know, he didn't outright say that Matt Ryan is our guy. And also for anybody who's asking if Matt Ryan's arm deficiencies are because of that shoulder injury, Jeff Saturday did say he's not aware of that being that case, or he wasn't, you know, the athletic trainer hasn't said anything to him about Matt Ryan's arm being an issue right now in terms of an injury. You know, his arm is just probably bad. Like, that's probably all we can really say about it at this point. But yeah, I do think it's time to bench Matt Ryan. And again, we talked about this last night in the post game. I don't even think the play, like what he's doing on the field, is the biggest factor here. It's the fact that they are 4-8-1. And we are one bad hit away from owing him $35 million next season. Like, completely guaranteed, just one bad hit. I mean, I was terrified when he took that big hit in the fourth quarter where he fumbled, because I thought, oh gosh, there it is. Like, I thought there was a major injury right there. The way that he fell and how he didn't reach for the ball and didn't do anything, I was like, oh, there it is. Like, the Colts are going to owe $35 million because they're playing, you know, a 40-year-old quarterback in the last 3 minutes of a 30-point blowout. Like, there is no reason for him to be playing these last couple games because, you were one hit away from $35 million of your cap being dedicated to a guy who you're not going to be next year. Like, he's not going to be the quarterback for the Colts in 2023, no matter what happens. So why is he out there? I know that it's a pride thing. I know this is a player that wants to play. You know, you promised him the world this offseason, but it's just not going to happen. You know, he is not the quarterback of the now or of the future. And I'm not saying anybody on the roster is, but you have to protect that money. You have to protect him too from himself. I mean, again, this is a 40-year-old guy who's just taking hit after hit after hit, and there's nothing productive coming out of it whatsoever. Save him from himself, save yourself from that money, and just bench him. Like, again, it's a horrible pride shot for him. I'm sure this is a fringe Hall of Fame player, a guy who's had just an amazing pro career. But it's just not happening, man. There's no reason to play him. And I don't care if it's Nick Foles or Sam Ellinger or claim Baker Mayfield for all I care. I really don't care. Just throw somebody else out there because you have to save that money and you have to save him from himself out there. Like, there is no point to playing a near 40-year-old quarterback in the last four games of a season where you're already out of the playoffs.
Yeah, there you just have no benefit to it. And I'm sorry. Like, I know it divided the locker room or not – it didn't divide the locker room against itself, but like the locker room generally did not like when Matt Ryan got benched before. And it's like, at this point, I'm sorry guys, but like something has to change. If like you may be attached to the guy, but you cannot think this is what the offense is supposed to look like at its best. Like something has to change. Like you, I don't know, Ellinger, Foles, whatever. We've seen it with Ellinger. You know, it didn't get to where we thought it might be. I've talked about Nick Foles, I think, would open up the downfield stuff a little more, which that seems to be, aside from Jonathan Taylor, you know, that seems to be what can open up the offense the most is Alec Pierce downfield. Ashton Doolin has speed too. Paris Campbell obviously does. So I think maybe just you can roll with Nick Foles the rest of the way, see how it looks. Like, you at least have a guy with the experience of Matt Ryan with a stronger arm and, you know, not near the cap hit down the road. So I'm okay with either, but I would lean Foles, I guess. All I know is that Matt Ryan, sake, for the team's sake, for the fans' sake, like, it's just probably time for it to be done.
Again, it doesn't even matter how he's playing out there. There is just no point in playing him when you have that injury guarantee. It's just way too risky. You're playing with fire here. And I know that Jeff Saturday is coaching for his job. You know, he wants to be the head coach after this season. And Matt Ryan is probably still the best quarterback on the roster. Shockingly enough, he is probably still the best quarterback on the roster. But again, I don't want Ursay jumping in that much, but this is a time where I'm like, Ursay, please just tell him to bench Matt Ryan again. Like, you did this once, just do it again, because you've got to save yourself here. You can't, like, you are setting yourself up for just a major, major hit next season if he gets hurt. And again, I'm not even talking, I mean, he already suffered a shoulder injury this season. He's been hit the most in the NFL among any quarterback. His offensive line has gotten a little bit better, but they're still allowing a lot of hits and pressures. He's still rolling out of the pocket and taking hits. Like, there's no benefit to playing him right now. And I don't even care if he, like, even if he's the worst quarterback and he's helping you lose to get that tank or whatever, it's still too risky to tie all that money up there into one bad hit. So, yeah, man, I don't get it. Again, just throw Sam Ellinger out there again, or Nick Foles, like, whatever. I do think it's time. I think the bye week's the perfect time to make that switch. You know, again, you take 2 weeks right up to draw up a game plan for Ellinger or for Nick Foles. So I don't know. We'll see what they do, but I really do think it's time to make that change. And again, not even just for his play on the field, but because you have to save yourself here. But coming up, guys, we're going to talk about some young players that we want to see inserted into the starting lineup in these final four games, it's just so they get some run. You know, we want to see these guys get on the field. But first, this episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we're sure you're going to love. That's why you'll be able to find a sneak peek of Block Forever, available on the Locked On NFL right now. Block Forever is a brand new podcast from former NFL All-Pro Ryan Khalil and Audible. Khalil sits down with star players, coaches, and former pros across the league to get real about what happens on the field and behind the scenes, inside locker rooms, during team meetings, and at the hotel. Ryan and guests discuss topics like player psyches, sports bettings, playing through pain, being a leader, and how to deal with combative teammates. Here, nothing is out of bounds. Available for free on Audible or wherever you get your podcast. Head over to Locked On NFL for a sneak peek of Block Forever, or catch the full series available anywhere you get your podcast. Available everywhere now. Audible, get in the game. Jake, so for the last segment, we're going to talk about ways that the Colts can kind of go a little bit young here in these last couple of games. And just again, to clarify, Jeff Saturday was asked about this in a presser here on Monday. And what he said was they're going to evaluate best for how to win these last four games, not for what's best for the future. You know, so he's more concerned with these last four games than the future, which again, he's coaching for his job. So I understand why he's saying that, but I know I speak for all fans here where I'm saying, look, the future is way more important than these last four games when they're not making the playoffs. But anyway, I digress. Jake and I wanted to talk about how, yes, we shouldn't be benching guys like Stephon Gilmore or DeForest Buckner, but players like Mo Alie-Cox should not be seeing the field over Jelani Woods. Byron Cowart over Eric Johnson doesn't make any sense. And then you even put some other ones on here. Brandon Faison over Dallas Flowers. Roddy McLeod over Nick Cross. I think that's a really interesting one. So we'll get to that one in a second. But let's start with the top one. Mo Alie-Cox versus Jelani Woods. Mo Alie-Cox should not even see the field these last four games. This should be Jelani Woods, 80% of the snaps, Kylan Granson, 20 to 30, whatever it is. Like, there is no benefit to playing Mo'Ali Cox over Jelani Woods these last couple games. And Saturday had another interesting quote about that today. He said that game flow reasons were the reasons why Jelani Woods didn't play until the fourth quarter. So game flow reasons. We've heard that from Frank Wright. We've heard that from coaches before. I hate that excuse so much.
I really do. What part of the game flow dictates that you don't use your leading receiver from the game before, who basically had 100 yards until the fourth quarter? A freak athlete of a tight end when your number one tight end almost catches like one pass per game. Like, it doesn't make sense. I said it last night, but it seems like you're just outsmarting yourself. But, you know, you made a really good point last night, too. If Mo'Ali Cox was giving you even a shade of the Jack Doyle blocking role, I understand it, but he's not. He's not really living up to that role that you wanted him to be, where he's this really reliable blocker. Jelani Woods can get in the way of a guy and delay him for a second. Like, why not? And Kylan Granson's not the best blocker in the world either. But these are your two guys who we're now, it's, you're basically through the season. We know what this offense is like with these three tight ends. You have two guys that are productive as pass catchers and one that's not at all. And it's not like this is a difference this year. Every year, Mo'Ali Cox has had some really good stretches, and then he's just not used for like most of the season, it seems like. And that's now been the case through two coaching tenures, 4 or 5 seasons now. Like, use Granson and Woods more. Those are your guys in the passing game at tight end.
Yeah, I really don't see any argument for Mo'Ali Cox playing more than Jelani Woods down the stretch. But I don't know. Knowing the way the season's gone, I mean, Jelani Woods probably getting 15 to 20% of the snaps these last couple weeks, and Mo'Ali Cox will be getting 60 to 70. But another one you put down here was Eric Johnson in favor of Byron Cowart, where I actually think Byron Cowart's been fine this season. I haven't had many issues with him. I think he's made some plays in the run game, but I'm 100% with you. There's just more benefit to playing Eric Johnson than Byron Cowart the rest of the way.
Yeah, and I mean, you could even do some rotations with Dio too inside, because like he had a good play where he opened up Quiddy Pay for a sack on Sunday. But yeah, guys. I mean,
he drove back Zach Martin into
which
Dak
doesn't happen.
Pocket. Like,
yeah.
Until Dio, man, he drove him back into. I mean, that might have been only good to the day, but that was an elite rush against an elite player. So, get more Dio snaps out there. I mean, he just needs more run for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the role they envisioned for him is to play inside and out. So, like you said, Byron Cowart's been fine. I haven't noticed him being like a huge detriment to the team, but you invested in Dio and Eric Johnson. Eric Johnson made the team as fourth, fifth rounder, you know. Didn't show a ton outside of athleticism and some power in training camp, but you made that investment. You know, Curtis Brooks is still on the practice squad, so that's not really a factor. But yeah, those young guys, I mean, that's a minuscule amount of snaps. Like, Cowart probably only plays like 10, 12 a game, but I mean, that's developmental snaps for these younger guys who you think are part of your future.
Yeah, and we have you have Dallas Flowers, and I'm guessing Isaiah Rogers as well, in replace of Brandon Faison. We'll talk about that one second, but I think the most interesting one is like Nick Cross versus Rodney McLeod.
The safeties are real interesting.
So I think this is tough right here because Gus Bradley is coaching for his next job right now. You're going to want your best player out there, and Rodney McLeod is definitely your best player right now. But I do think this could be a situation where it's like, look, get the kids some run. You know, please, like, maybe if you're just begging Gus Bradley, like, just get him a little bit of run. Maybe use him in the slot, you know, where they had Julian Blackman last week. Use him a little bit in the slot where Kenny Moore was, especially on running downs where he can be that aggressive guy downhill. So, yeah, I want to see Nick Cross touch the field a little bit in these last four games. But again, when you have a defensive coordinator who is not coaching for this job, he's coaching for the next job. He doesn't care about next year. He doesn't care about the future of the Colts because he is just trying to put his best out there for whatever DC job he's going to get next. So I doubt we see that one, but I'm with you. I want to see some more Nick Cross these last four games.
Yeah, that's the thing, is there's really no part of me that wants to see less Rodney McLeod, but I do want to see more Nick Cross. Like, they were in love with him through training camp. He got some run in week 1, week 2, and then we just haven't really seen him anywhere but special teams since then. And I know he's a young guy, a real developmental guy, needs a lot of work, but I mean, that's work's going to come on the field. So, I know he's more your strong safety that you're looking at, but you know, I don't know if you could do something with Julian Blackman snaps. Maybe you can move guys around. Some of these guys are interchangeable. Rodney Thomas as well. Blackman had overtaken Thomas once again, which it was his job. But since they used the three safeties on Sunday, it got Rodney Thomas a lot more play again. So I don't know. I really like seeing Rodney Thomas out there. I think that's a guy who's going to be on the team for a while. I just want to see what Nick Cross has to offer.
Yeah, and then again, the last one, Dallas Flowers, Isaiah Rodgers versus Brandon Faison. Again, Gus Bradley's coaching for his next job. He's not coaching for this one. So I don't see this one happening. But, you know, we want to see more Dallas Flowers. We want to see more Isaiah Rodgers because we know what Brandon Faison is. He's not going to be back on this team next season. So there's no real point in playing him as a fan or as someone who's looking for the future of the Colts. But again, Gus Bradley's not coaching for the Colts right now. He's coaching for Gus Bradley. So it's tough, man. It's because these are moves that we want to see happen, but they're almost certainly not going to happen because, again, Jeff Saturday is coaching for Jeff Saturday right now. Gus Bradley is coaching for Gus Bradley. And so they're going to put the best players out there, even if these are 30-something-year-old players that are not going to be with the Colts next season. Which sucks. That's what happens when you don't have the job security. But yeah, I would love to see Dallas Flowers and Isaiah Rodgers have more snaps than Brandon Faison these next couple weeks.
Yeah, these are of course selfish things we want to see because I totally understand the coaches having guys in there that they do. These aren't really lineup changes that I have big beef with. It's just opportunities where these younger guys could get in. But no, Dallas Flowers, what's that?
We do have beef with the Jelani Woods one. We have beef with that one.
That one's big, yeah.
We have beef with that one. The other ones, and the Isaiah Rodgers and Brandon Faison one. We have beef with that one, too. Those are the only two we have legit beef with, but we do have, like, we're not saying that these have to happen or else. It's just we wish they would. You know, we wish.
Well, the Rodgers one was fine again up until a week or two ago, which I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to understand what is said in the pressers because there's a little bit of misdirection involved in that sometimes, I think. Right. But yeah. No, I think some of these would be good. Dallas Flowers, I've heard a lot of good things about, even from guys who cover other teams this year doing some of the crossovers, like stuff off air, being asked about Dallas Flowers and like expectations for him. So I think the Colts liked him as a potential lockdown athletic, lengthy type guy moving forward, and we won't know unless we see it. I mean, he's been great on special teams.
Yeah, he looks awesome. He looks like he's going to be a really good special team player at worst. You know, a great gunner, a great return guy, you know, can do some of the coverage stuff. Like, so I'm, again, Chris Ballard's awesome at finding special teams guys. You know, say what you want about Chris Ballard, finding Ashton Doolin, finding you know, George Odom, finding Dallas Flowers, finding Isaiah Rodgers. Like, these are awesome special teams guys that he's able to find. So hats off to Chris Ballard for finding Dallas Flowers. But yeah, man, I don't know. This Colts team right now, it's just they're in a really tough place. I wish they would go young. But even again, Jeff Saturday told us in his press conference on Monday, they're not going to make changes just to go young and look for the future. They're going to make changes, if they're going to make any, to win these last four games. Now, some of these moves probably do help you with that, but again, they're playing for the right now, not for the future, because that's all these coaches have on their mind is the right now, you know? So I get it, but it's just, it's frustrating as a fan and as someone who cares about the future of the Colts. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if they can get some young guys out there these last four games, but I'm kind of expecting much of the same here these last 4 weeks.
Yeah, same here. I don't think anything drastic will happen. I will say I wouldn't be surprised if something happens at quarterback just because they've been, even though they haven't really let on verbally to reporters that they would, they've been pretty willing to shuffle things around. So I wouldn't be shocked to see something happen, especially like you said, coming out of the bye week. There's no better time to make changes than right now, especially since you have the last quarter of the season to go. So I don't know. I think something will change, whether it's slight or something big like quarterback, but I don't think everything's going to be exactly the same. But I do think there's a bit of stubbornness there where they're going to want to try and continue establishing and, you know, dancing with who they brung.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, I think that's all we got for today, Jake. What do you think?
Nope, that's it. It's the bye week, not just for the players, but we've all earned a little bit of a bye week. We'll still have stuff for you, of course, but we're not going to bring you the normal monotonous stuff. We'll have a good lineup of guests and some interesting things and topics to present to you guys along the way this week.
Yeah, make sure you guys are following us on social media at Locked On Colts, at Jake Arthur NFL, and at Zach Hicks 2 on Twitter. Also, subscribe to Locked On Colts on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. We'd also love your ratings and reviews, so please just jump in there and tell us what you think. And thank you guys for making us your first listen of the day. For your next listen, check out Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys tomorrow.